Can you explain a little bit more about exactly how Dr. Peru went about doing this research and a little bit more about the classification of the five different subtypes and clinically what we know about them?
Dr. Peru did his postdoctoral work in the Brown and Botstein lab at Stanford, which is sort of the lab that developed these techniques in tissue-based samples, really certainly for solid tumors, and was the most famous in this in the 10 years ago or so. And the seminal paper on this particular topic was a co-first authored paper between Chuck Peru and Therese Sorley. And in that, they did essentially what it sounds like. I think it was called molecular portraits of breast cancer at some point was how they termed them. And they asked a very simple question. If you take a lot of genes in a gene expression array, can you identify a subset of those genes that seem to be more altered between one group of breast cancers and another group of breast cancers? And is breast cancer a range of different diseases with each one looking a little different than the other, or are there identifiable clusters? And that, of course, is clustering analysis that was performed on these to try and identify whether there were groups of breast cancers. And they started with a relatively small data set. It was fewer than 100 samples of breast cancers. And they separated them. It's actually interesting. The way they started was that they asked what genes are the most altered between cancers, but not altered within cancers. And within that data set, they had a group of breast cancers that were before and after neoadjuvant chemotherapy samples from their Norwegian collaborators, as I recall. And so they said, okay, we want the genes that are not changed. We want to get rid of genes that may have changed from the same woman before and after doxorubicin and keep the genes that are the most different between cancers. And using that, they ended up with about 500 genes that filled those criteria. I think it was about fourfold different between one cancer and another, and tended to stay the same within a cancer. And that's where the 496 gene, what's called the intrinsic list, comes from. And that intrinsic list has been the gene list that's been applied to other people's data sets. And so in subsequent studies, they looked not only at their own Stanford and Norway data set, but they looked at the Vandeveer data set, the West data set, and several others, and applied their intrinsic gene list to see whether they came up with the same groupings of breast cancers across different data sets, in independent data sets. And they did. And the prognosis that was identified in their original data set in terms of the luminal subtypes tended to do better, but within the two luminal subtypes, there's A and B clearly did worse than A. And then the basal-like and the HER2 subtypes tended to have poorer prognoses. And that was recapitulated in the other data sets also. I think one of the reasons that molecular profiling has become a part of clinicians' lexicon so quickly is that, in a sense, the gene expression profiling mimicked what we already suspected about breast cancer biology, in that these profiles clearly separated an ER-positive group and an ER-negative group. And the very first separation in those clusters is between ER-positive subtypes and ER-negative subtypes. Well, that fits with what clinicians have known for years. So that was, in a sense, reassuring that this wasn't throwing away things that we already knew to be true. It was taking it, what we knew to be true, and extending it, in a sense, with a little more biology. So then you add in the question of HER2. You know, it was also very reassuring, I think, to clinicians that HER2 came out as a biologically distinct group of tumors, as we all know it is. And then you add the additional biologic information. One of the things that comes up a lot is, are these really prognostic profiles? And I think it's very important for people to think about these, not so much as prognostic profiles, but really biologic ones. They may give us information about therapeutically relevant differences, but that's not really what they're there for.